one of the really interesting conundrums that we have is that, yes, we've got a lot of fantastic carbon-free resources out, but solar does not shine at all hours of the day, nor does wind blow at all hours of the day. So we have some gaps today in terms of when we actually have carbon-free resources on the grid.
Welcome to Smart Energy Voices, an SED podcast, featuring conversations with leaders of the energy transition, hosted by Smart Energy Decisions' own Deborah Channel. In each episode of Smart Energy Voices, Deborah digs deep with industry movers and shakers to reveal insights you can learn from in their stories, personalities, and visions for the future. All right, let's dive in.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Deborah Channel from Smart Energy Decisions, and we're happy to have you back here with us at Smart Energy Voices. If you've been enjoying the podcast, please take a minute or two to share it with a coworker or someone you know that would benefit from this content. For today's episode of our podcast, we want to share the opening session of our recent Net Zero Forum Spring. Our presenting sponsor was Constellation, and their session is called What's Old, New, and Next for Hourly Carbon-Free Matching Products. So hourly 24/7 carbon-free energy is really the new industry gold standard as we're looking at the transition to clean energy. And it's a standard that's still evolving. So this panel is discussing the latest trends and learnings, available products, and what to look for next. And if you think your organization isn't quite ready for this high-level, cutting-edge topic, think again and listen, because there's really something that's achievable and accessible for everybody here. So let's get started with our panelists. We have Brian Megley and Chuck Hanna from Constellation and Katie Choroyer from Level 10 Energy.
So first, I wanted to introduce myself. I'm Chuck Hanna, Vice President of our National Accounts, as well as our Solutions business. And I'm very pleased to be joined by Katie Choroyer. I'm making sure I got the pronunciation right there, who's the Vice President of Granular Procurement Solutions from Level 10, and Brian McGauley, who's the Director of Clean Energy Policy at Constellation. So again, thanks for joining us and look forward to our panel. And first, why don't we start with some introductions? Katie, why don't you tell us what the VP of Granular Procurement Solutions does from Level 10?
Thanks, Chuck. Well, when I joined Level 10, I actually had the best title. I was the VP of a stealth project because we had not yet announced the GC Trading Alliance, which Constellation is a part of. Yeah. But since our announcement on December 14th, I am now the VP of Granular Procurement Solutions. And this is really our effort to help accelerate this transition towards granular reporting around procurement goals.
Okay, great. Thanks, Katie. Brian, you want to do a brief introduction, please?
Sure. So Brian McGauley, Director of Clean Energy Policy. I got to make my title up when Exelon and Constellation separated and we were creating all these new roles. I just was able to assign that title to myself. But in that role, I work very closely with our policy and sustainability teams on environmental and climate policy and also on market design issues. And in that role, I also work very closely with our environmental products desk and our sustainability services providers to better, you know, understand the market landscape and to kind of provide, you know, feedback and insights into how we see the policy frameworks developing over time. And I should also talk a little bit about Constellation. I'm sure many of you are familiar with us, but just to reiterate, we're one of the leading suppliers of retail energy and natural gas to C&I customers and mass markets customers. We offer a wide variety of sustainability services and products. We're also the leading generator of clean energy in the United States.
1 in 10 megawatt hours of carbon-free energy generated in the United States last year came from one of the facilities that we operate, which is largely nuclear, but it is also it's fairly diversified. We have a lot of, you know, wind and solar and other non-emitting resources in our portfolio. So that's a little bit about me and Constellation.
Sounds good. Thank you, Brian. So let's get into our Q&A. First, as our title talks about what's old, what's new, and next for hourly carbon-free matching. One thing I just wanted to, I guess, qualify is when we talk about what's old, that probably goes back a month since this is a very new and emerging part of the market. And I think around the introductions, one thing to keep in mind is, you know, there's a limited number of companies that have embarked on these types of journeys toward these types of products. But part of today's discussion is also provide more familiarity with the broader market in terms of how our panelists may see these evolving. And more importantly, how that may apply to your businesses as you build out both your sustainable portfolios and look to consider other options over some of these longer term commitments that you all may be considering. So let's start with what's the origination and need for hourly matching products? And maybe some of the specific questions, where did it come from? How did the early adopters identify these opportunities and solve for this need? So Katie, would you like to get started on that one, please?
Sure. So I think one of the things that's just really interesting, so many of you are probably familiar with slides like this as you look at your own load portfolios. But I think one of the really interesting conundrums that we have is that, yes, we've got a lot of fantastic carbon-free resources out, but solar does not shine at all hours of the day, nor does wind blow at all hours of the day. So we have some gaps today in terms of when we actually have carbon-free resources on the grid. And if our goal is actually to decarbonize the grid, we need to be making sure we're addressing all of the above. And so that sort of speaks to the opportunity that we've been working on here, which is how can we actually create market signals and demand signals to redirect carbon-free energy supply to when and where it's going to be needed most? And so that's where you start seeing some of our nice little green bits on out here. And then ultimately, what we're really working to do here is to create a market for granular certificates. And what a granular certificate is, an energy attribute certificate that's stamped with time and location information so that we're able to address more elegantly where we may have some of those gaps in the market today. Because absent that, the solution is to over procure to meet that, which is, you know, very expensive and certainly not the most cost effective path forward. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, that sort of speaks to, you know, what we are doing to really try to make it possible for our organizations of all sizes to be able to buy carbon-free energy. And if they have excess, to also be able to trade it. So that sort of is the long-term vision. But Chuck, as you said, we certainly have a lot of work to do to get this going. And we're looking to some of the organizations on out here to really help accelerate this and keep this going.
Sounds good.
Brian, maybe from a policy standpoint, you looked at this from a lot of different angles. Any other insights that you'd like to share, please?
Sure. There are definitely some policy tailwinds that I think would bear on the development of these types of procurement strategies. So I'm sure many of you are familiar with the executive order issued in 22, directing the federal government to procure 100% clean energy for its own loads by 2030. And half of that procurement must be hourly matched. So the federal procurement agencies have been rolling out these procurements, you know, since that order was issued, and it's evolving as we go. Each time they issue a new procurement, they add some additional features and refine the procurement strategies. And they also have to adapt the procurements to different market landscapes. So, you know, fully integrated utility land, you know, markets and deregulated markets. And we really see that as a really important sort of market signal saying that, look, we have the largest buyer of energy in the United States saying that this is the type of procurement strategy that they want to pursue. There are discussions happening at the, among the states. I'll get to that in a second, actually. But another kind of critical piece happening at the federal level is the proposed 45V clean hydrogen procurement, clean hydrogen development guidance. So the draft rules that we've seen thus far call for hourly matching, not today, but in time, for the clean energy used to power a clean hydrogen production facility. And that also has to be generated within the same market footprint, loosely defined. So you've got this proposed 45V guidance, you've got the federal procurement mandate that's been out for some time now. And this is these sorts of activities and this interest in this type of procurement strategy is being mirrored in some policy developments we're seeing at the states. So as many of you know, RPS, the way they're currently structured, it's an annual matching requirement, an actual annual matching framework. But we see some discussions happening in states like Maryland and Massachusetts, where policymakers are really looking to refine those procurements to better align the types of resources that they're getting for their customers and their ratepayers in their states, and to make sure that those resources are better aligned with how they actually consume energy. And then there's a lot happening in the voluntary space. Well, sort of in the standard space. So, you know, maybe folks are following the discussions around the changes to the greenhouse gas protocol. And this is a lengthy process that was kicked off, you know, some time ago and will likely wrap up sometime around the end of next year. But the guidance for voluntary buyers looking to manage their own greenhouse gas inventories is in those discussions, one of the approaches that has been proposed and you know has gained a lot of traction is to require buyers in order to zero out their scope 2 emissions reporting to procure energy attribute certificates that match their consumption. So moving from, again, from an annual framework to an hourly framework. A lot of the outcome of that process is still TBD. I mean, it's, again, it's a multi-year process that's ongoing as, you know, that's happening in real time. But there is a lot of interest in bringing that those types of requirements into that accounting framework as well. So you've got a lot of things happening both in the policy space and in the voluntary space to give life to this kind of framework and this kind of procurement strategy.
Thank you, Brian. So you mentioned that the federal government has goals in this area to achieve hourly matching for some portion out a few years into the future. Can you share with us any other customers that have embarked on these objectives to achieve a carbon-free hourly match beyond the federal government?
Sure. I mean, we've worked with customers ourselves. We've done a transaction with Microsoft to match load from one of their data centers in Virginia to make sure that they achieve 100% hourly match for that facility's energy consumption. We've done a transaction with Commonwealth Edison for their own load. So for the utilities procurement to meet the loads at their facilities that they operate. So not their customers, but the facilities that they own themselves. And then we know that other suppliers have signed deals like this. We've got a lot of interest from, you know, leading tech firms and other large energy consumers that are looking to move their procurement from the annual framework to an hourly framework. And frankly, a lot of the interest, although we've got a lot of interest in the policy space, a lot of the interest is really coming from the customers. And the framework that Katie's was talking about, this is a critical enabler of this. So we've got the voluntary buyers looking to evolve the way they consume and procure clean energy. And then you've got the mandates coming in various forms that will require it. And the kind of platform that we're talking about here is something that can kind of really enable that and ensure that it happens in a accelerated fashion.
Thank you, Brian. And then Katie, I think many of our audience members are familiar with the Level 10 platform and how they've been able to leverage it in terms of insights around renewable procurements, and then your strong analytics platform, which we utilize, you know, on behalf for the benefit of our customers. But what are you seeing from a customer perspective in terms of this evolving market on the hourly match with carbon-free energy? Any insights you can share on the customers?
Sure, absolutely. And I think building off of what Brian said, we really, you know, are hearing from customers, hey, we've hit our annual goals. We're trying to go next, but right now we actually don't have the necessary resolution to understand where we've got gaps. Mm-hmm. And so I think one thing too, we've thrown around, and I know I've thrown around the term granular certificates, granular trading. To just step back, some of you may already be familiar with this, but there's an international standard coming out of Energy Tag for granular certificates. Mm-hmm. So much like we have standards today for renewable energy certificates in North America and their global equivalents, there's a new standard that's emerging for time and location-based energy attributes. And the work that we're doing right now is actually to help effectuate that standard in the world. Because we've been hearing, hey, we want to get this greater resolution there, but right now we don't have the tools. So the opportunities that we see are helping to get that out in the world and give an opportunity for people to aggregate what is their demand profile, what is actually needed, and then for suppliers to bring together their carbon-free energy resources so that we can actually do some matching around where we have some of those gaps today. And so, you know, much like the transition we saw over a decade ago towards power purchase agreements, we see this as a next phase as people are looking to do even more. The other thing that I would also just call out is we've been talking a lot about 24/7 and hourly. I think the other piece that's really interesting is there's another approach, the emissionality perspective, which is also seeking to try to align corporate procurement with highest impacts for grid decarbonization. And that's another area where granular certificates can be incredibly helpful to help meet those goals.
Thank you, Katie. So, you know, the audience members, as you indicated, you know, have dealt with a lot of transition in the marketplace around renewable sustainability, the overall market changes, and then probably also what they're doing behind the meter within their premise, so to speak, and trying to optimize, manage all that. And this, as you're describing, looks to be another evolving tool that'll be available over time. So can you provide a little bit more detail and insight in terms of how we get there and some of the things that Level 10 is doing around the development of the platform?
Sure. And first and foremost, I think it's important to note that this is something that we recognize as a broader industry-wide effort. This is not Level 10 trying to do it all itself.
Sure.
So for those of you out in the audience who may be advisors, you know, there is huge work that needs to happen in terms of helping organizations to establish what is their 24/7 goal. But once you have that goal, you need to have a place to come in and actually be able to manage your portfolio and address where you've got gaps. And so what Level 10 is doing, given our experiences with marketplaces, is working with the Intercontinental Exchange, ICE, mm-hmm. Who will be the place where granular certificates will be traded, and helping to fill in the gaps, if you so to speak, so that people can come in and be able to indicate where they have gaps. Sellers can come in, transactions can and auctions can occur on ICE, and then we can do the necessary matching with the tracking systems and registries in order to enable a turnkey solution.
And then, Brian, maybe turning over to two questions for you. One is, do you see audience members becoming like granular certificate day traders on the side? Is that a possibility in terms of as you think about the future? And then how do you see this evolving from a policy standpoint? So I'm kind of putting you on the spot. But you always have some good insights in terms of how this may apply to side roles for our audience members.
Well,
somebody wearing a bandana trading granular certificates, you see that in the future?
You never know. So part of my role, you know, I track developments in environmental and climate policy, right? So we work a lot with EPA, we work a lot with state and federal regulators. And, you know, we've all been familiar with debate around cap and trade and carbon taxes and so forth. And that's worked in certain jurisdictions, but it really hasn't taken off in the United States in a broad scale. So we're not doing climate policy using policies that are sort of looking to internalize the negative externalities of carbon pollution. Instead, we're focusing on, so we're not punishing the bad. We're really looking to reward the good. And we're looking for better ways to reward the good. And rewarding the good in this sort of example is about procuring the right kinds of clean energy in the right locations at the right time. So as the markets to support these kinds of procurements develop, we can see potentially vibrant trading in certificates that are denominated in hours, that are, you know, stamped with locations that are far more geographically restrictive than just the national sort of Green E standard that a lot of folks are familiar with. So as interest in this area develops, we can see the markets growing and becoming more liquid and deeper and more vibrant and more efficient. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but it could happen in the not too distant future. And it's something I think we should all be excited about, because it means that we're really focusing on, again, procuring the right resources at the right time to meet the needs of customers like yourselves and others. In terms of the policies that could support this, we do, as I mentioned, a lot of what happens in clean energy procurement is really determined at the state level. So, you know, we're all familiar with RPS and those frameworks, and those have been in existence, you know, for two decades or more. And as these discussions that, again, like really started sort of in the voluntary space, spill over into the policy world, we're going to see a lot of interest, I think, in refining those procurement requirements to make sure that they align with the needs of the ratepayers in the states that, you know, under consideration. So, and again, we're seeing some of that already. You know, I'll throw out an example. And I mentioned Maryland earlier. In Maryland's decarbonization plan, right, the state is required under the Climate Solutions Now Act to produce a plan for how the state expects to meet its decarbonization requirements by 2030 and 2045. And one of the recommendations of the study authors, and this is like a joint effort between different regulatory bodies within the state, is to pursue a clean power standard. So going beyond just the RPS, so expanding to all clean energy resources, not just your traditional wind and solar resources that would qualify for an RPS, and to match on an hourly basis. So this is the recommendation. It's not a policy proposal yet, but it's something that's under discussion, again, in the agencies, and it may find its way into discussions within the legislature, and we expect it to, if not in this session, then in sessions to come. So that's kind of how we see it playing out in a broad sense. But Katie mentioned earlier, this is not a Level 10 initiative. This is something that's really gaining momentum in all sorts of corners of the industry. And just as part of my work, I spent a lot of time sort of keeping tabs on various stakeholder initiatives. And it's almost too much activity to keep track of. We're working with organizations like the Regulatory Assistance Project to help design tariffs for use in fully integrated service territories for hourly procurement and hourly matching for their customers. We're working with the Electric Power Research Institute on a 24/7 clean energy buyers sort of initiative. And that's going to be kicking off somewhat soon. There's a lot happening in the sort of like voluntary world with the Center for Resource Solutions, the folks who are the Greenie, provide the Greenie standard. They have an initiative called the Clean Energy Accounting Project that puts out a lot of good insights and research on just how to think about the best way to account for your carbon emissions and your carbon footprint and how to best procure clean energy to mitigate that. So that's just a sort of a taste of some of the things that we're seeing, but there are many, many more initiatives happening all over the place. And again, it's really exciting to see.
Thank you, Brian. So I'm going to ask a couple more questions here, then we'll open it up to questions from the audience. So Katie, going back to you, Brian described, you know, a number of things, how the federal government is pursuing these types of solutions out a few years, and they'll be coming out with RFPs at some point in the future to procure for them. Also talked about some of the evolving state regulation requirements that are out there, and then also gave a number of examples from a customer standpoint that have voluntarily pursued these goals. So from your perspective, maybe give the audience, like, what is this platform in terms of what Level 10, the partners, and ICE are developing? How does that evolve? What does it look like from, again, the customer perspective in terms of how they may utilize it? And then maybe some indication from a timing perspective when this might be available, please.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think it's a really exciting time. And it's also a time of a lot of unknowns. For example, how much demand will we see in the early days?
Yeah.
How much supply will show up? We've joked around internally that in addition to publishing, you know, where we have, you know, supply and demand matching in terms of offers and our early auctions that will happen, we'll also have the unrequited demand report to help sort of provide signals out to the market of where we need additional carbon-free energy resources to come online. And I think that's part of this really exciting evolution. And it is an evolution. It's going to take time and it's going to take all of our collective efforts. We are looking to your specific question to launch our first auctions of granular certificates in the second half of 2024, which I think will, again, you know, start to create both that market signal information as well as additional price transparency around what is the actual value that we place on specific hours. So it should be a really exciting time of learning and discovery.
Thanks to Brian, Katie, and Chuck for that great presentation. And thanks to Constellation for providing this session for our event and our podcast. And finally, to our listeners, thanks as always for engaging with our content and being part of the Smart Energy Decisions community. If you enjoyed the episode, and I hope you did, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and tell your colleagues and peers about it. To learn about how you can become part of our next event, visit our website, smartenergydecisions.com. We're excited about sharing conversations with leaders of the energy transition in this podcast, as well as on our website and at our events. And it's all in the interest of helping you make those smart energy decisions.
Thanks for listening to Smart Energy Voices, an SED podcast. Digest the insights from today's episode and take action on the ideas that have inspired you. Join us every Friday for conversations with smart energy leaders. To keep up to date with trends and happenings in the energy transition, visit smartenergydecisions.com to register for our daily newsletter and become part of the Smart Energy Decisions community.